HarperCollins presents Orchard, A Year in England's Eden by Benedict MacDonald and Nicholas Gates. Read by Mike Grady. Introduction. Fiery mist shrouded the drooping furrowed trees. Woodpecker gunfire startled my coffee-primed senses. The song thrush chorus sang so loud it soon became the jumbled chaos of a dozen raptures. The static fizz of a feeding starling gang carried from the fog-wrapped orchard floor. Well before the sun would rise, Eden was alive. In a world increasingly starved of life, such moments are special. They burn into our senses, and there are some refuges so cherished, some places so important, some corners of our island so unique, that their wonders must be shared. The orchard is one of those places. Haunted by creatures that may soon become memories, hedgehogs and cuckoos, dormice and bats, this orchard's diversity eclipses that of most nature reserves or designated wild places. It protects within its boughs an ark of animals now almost impossible to find living side by side elsewhere in our dying countryside. Yet, like many of nature's best-kept secrets, the orchard's discovery came to me as a surprise. The visit had begun with another painfully early start. Pouring water on my own reproachful face at 5 o'clock in the morning in suburban Bristol, falling into my clothes and car, then driving north to Herefordshire, the steam of coffee rising. With the sun yet to sail, I nudged my unwilling car into a disused farm gate, bound by twine and locked by ivy. And then I peered beyond. Beyond my remit to explore, the mournful sigh of a bullfinch sounded from the nearby hedgerow. Then came the chatter of a redstart. What? You're not supposed to find redstarts here. Cuckoo. This, too, was the first time I'd ever heard this sound in an orchard. Then the drumming of 1, 2, 3 lesser-spotted woodpeckers. A sound of the older countryside. This chorus brought me to my senses. It was as if every vanishing song in England had been broadcast all at once. What started as a routine survey had transformed into a journey back in time. Looking at my watch, it was still only 6:30 in the morning. Sharing my enthusiasm for this newfound refuge with its unknown owners this early in the day might not endear them to my quest to discover its secrets. Instead, I opened my beaten green thermos and perched quietly on a gatepost. The mist fermented as the amber sun burned the ridgeline of the Malverns. Finally, Eden's curtain was lifted. This was, most certainly, an orchard. But in place of serried planted ranks, chopped limbs and neat grass, lay a jumbled magical chaos. Cutting the orchard in two, a hedgerow of 2 centuries ago had matured into a line of serpentine oaks. Enormous dead trunks stood where previous apples had perished, encrusted with bracket fungi and cocooned in nettles. The oldest trees were riven with the concentric homes of woodpeckers. The hedgerows were so thick, the sun shunned them. You could scarcely have driven a tank through their midst. This was an orchard gone wild. Enraptured, I wandered along the lane, seeking the owner of Eden. As the lane turned a corner, the twin peaks of a hop kiln, a building designed for drying hops for brewing, towered into view. A raucous colony of jackdaws erupted from its summit. Before me lay the kind of garden you see in photographs from before the Second World War, or the kind of farm you discover in the rambling countryside of Europe's oldest corners. Whatever the purpose of the buildings, nature was firmly in control. The walls were thick with hungry, climbing creepers and rife with brambles. The flower beds began to drone with bees as the warmth of the sun broke over the garden.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?